ready, Gavin?
Matthew, good afternoon.
Hello, how are you?
This question is, how are you?
Doing good.
Good. Weathering it, learning a trial by fire, or just trials and tribulations of everyday.
A few new things so far, so that's always good to learn new things. But other than that, it's been pretty much like a long vacation.
Yeah. And you're going on vacation at the end of the month?
I am, yes.
Where to?
We got down to Myrtle Beach for a few days, and then stopping on the way back. Somewhere we haven't decided on a day or two on the way back. Just taking a trip for our anniversary.
Good. But your cell phone or radio off?
No, cell phone will be on, but radio definitely.
Well, don't look at your emails, yeah. All right. Harold says you had a couple of things for us.
Yes. So I included in the chief's report packet that was sent to you the draft. Agreement from Lucas County about instituting the advanced life support in all the jurisdictions. And just wanted to, we met as the group of 13 fire chiefs to go through the draft contract and to bring up questions or items that we wanted to have addressed as far as that goes. And then collectively as a group, Waterville. Fire Chief from Waterville is also the president for the Lucas County Fire Chiefs Association, where we have kind of a separate committee made up of the chiefs to work on this EMS reform. He was going to take everything back to the county to talk with them about everything that the chiefs came up with, questions or things to make changes to the draft, and then get back to everybody. He has that meeting scheduled on the 18th. So then we're planning probably somewhere during the week of the 22nd.
18th this week?
18th of May, yes. And then somewhere during the following week, the 22nd, we'll plan to get the group of 13 fire chiefs together again to see what feedback he got from the county and see where we're at with potentially the next version of this draft.
What are your big issues?
That's what I was going to go over with you tonight. So the first, on the first page where it starts with the agreement definition and everything, the one point that was brought up was the original contract for the operating chiefs, which are the chiefs that have the life squads currently now. It was indicated in there that the funding was provided through the sales tax, and they took that language out when they did this. That and a couple other points are part of where the fire chiefs felt if the county's committed to sustaining this EMS effort or this providing this advance without, you know, actually running the life squads, it would be a good commitment to leave that wording in there about the funding so that the funding shows that it's going to be continuing, not just 3 years and then it goes away. The other issue with that was that the sales tax was passed along with the help of all the fire chiefs way back when it was passed, and it was dedicated money that was providing EMS with money. So if it's not going to be used for the EMS, then there's kind of an issue about where was that money going to go to. Right. So
I could give it back, stop collecting it, right?
That
reduce the sales tax in Lucas County?
So they were going to ask about having that wording put back in there. On the section
just
with definitions.
Just on a side note, and I think it's common knowledge, but do we need to let Mommy formally know that we are not partnering with them on the 804 for our district?
It's in the contract, basically, that the two, the 804 for our region is split halfway between Mommy and halfway between us to provide ALS for each of our jurisdictions.
I'm looking at it now. I didn't know what page it was on, but yeah. I don't know if we needed to, formally let them.
Hold on questions at the end of the class.
The definition section, we just asked specifically for us as one of the only entities that runs with advanced EMTs. We asked that the advanced EMT definition be put in there so that the paramedic, the crew makeup could be considered paramedic plus either an advanced or a basic EMT. Some definition, there were some questions about the definition of ALS because in the national curriculum, ALS can be an advanced EMT, but in the state of Ohio, the advanced EMTs aren't recognized as being able to perform cardiac care. So the state of Ohio doesn't technically recognize that section of the training. So the definitions used should be reflective of the Ohio Revised Code for where ALS could only basically be paramedic to be complete ALS. The advanced are permitted to treat things like diabetics, asthmatics, but they can't treat heart issues or problems.
So I wouldn't think that the county's going to have any issue with those.
No.
Now, the first issue
tax
brought
yeah,
up
probably.
Is,
yeah.
was taken out for a reason.
Right. Correct. The next section on the provision of ALS, it just references... just the second page, number two, provision of ALS. It reference is an attachment A, which wasn't attached. Everybody obviously had issues with that because it wasn't attached, but it basically was sounds like it should be just a map of the breakdown with each of the regions in there. So I'm sure it's forthcoming. It just was not in there. The Air National Guard Fire Department representative was there, and they did question about the legal description of the Port Authority. From some meetings in the past, I know I wasn't party to, and I'm not sure if Chief Bernhard was, but they said that the Port Authority has been described as its own political subdivision. So if that's the case, they're left out of the description in the region. The Air Guard base itself is in Monclova Township, so they would be in our region, but they also provide fire and EMS services for the western half of the airport, which would fall under the Springfield Township region. So they were just asking where they fit in and if the Port Authority's a political subdivision as well, if that was added in. So they're trying to find clarification on that. The same question was also for Swanton Township because Swanton Township is actually, the area served in Swanton Township is covered half by White House and half by Springfield, which puts it in two of the different regions. So that one seems like a pretty easy one for them to handle as well. A couple of the departments had brought up no reference to funding for training in there, although the reference to all the funding basically is providing your ALS delivery of service, which would include your training. So that didn't seem to be a big contention for some people that it didn't specifically spell out training because we have to do training for our EMS personnel anyways, for firefighters. When we flip over to it referenced talking about stocking units with medical equipment, supplies, and medications that's defined by the medical policy. And there was just a question of how that list was going to come up with the different medical directors having some oversight is what was requested because our different medical directors that we have in the county each have slightly different protocols, which then means that certain equipment may be different. So not a little more general on the equipment, like it would say advanced airways versus saying a specific type of advanced airway that everybody would have to carry then, even if you don't use it in your protocol. So there was just some clarification to get on a couple of those wordings that they had. That was the same for on the next page under the mutual aid agreements. It seemed like some people were reading it that we had to strike up new mutual aid agreements, but we already have existing mutual aid agreements in place, so the wording to use existing mutual aid agreements was asked to be modified to include that in there. The funding mechanism and the funding amounts, a lot of discussion on it. Some of the chiefs and some of the political entities from those regions are trying to push for an increase to $1 million per unit instead of the $804,000. They also wanted to have some discussion about incremental increases over the life of the agreement, which isn't left out of the contract. basically the $804,000 that the operating chiefs have been getting has been in existence and frozen since 2017. So their question or concern throughout the process was that most of them are already over budget on that $804,000 based on their personnel costs, so they're looking to have an increase put in.
That would be definitely nice.
So that one will come also for a push from a lot of the politician side as well when we get closer towards meeting with the county, because the plan is for us to hammer out this draft agreement and then to have individual meetings, the county with each of the jurisdictions, to meet with the politicians, the councils, or the trustees, to go through everything. There was some question about, again, because this a lot of it is drafted from what's in the operating chiefs now. It talks about having a response time where you exceed the average for the three previous calendar years. And any of the departments that don't have a life squad now currently would not have any response data, as well as some of the response data, like in Waterville, they'll be covering part of Providence Township. So they don't routinely respond out to Providence Township now, so they have no response data that can say that they're ahead of time or behind time. So some clarification was asked on how they were going to handle basically departments that didn't have any prior 3 years response. So because that, as you saw in there later, was tied to if you fail to meet your response times, then they could pull your funding.
Which we won't
what's
have
the standard? What's
anyway.
The standard on that response time?
The national standard is what we were looking at. So I'd have to get the numbers for sure to see what they were. But I think it was. I think the goal nationally is somewhere between 4 to 8 minutes to have ALS on scene.
Did they meet those? When it was under their jurisdiction? I'd like to know that.
That's definitely the question, which is why the reform has been spurned, because
they weren't meeting.
Here you have the city of Toledo to get a life squad on scene, happens within 48 minutes, but it takes 15 to 20 minutes to get out to Providence Township, even from White House or from Springfield or Sylvania out into Richfield Township. So
right. That needs some work, yeah. Period. It's not going to be right even if they didn't have existing data.
Correct.
I want to know what the...
Correct.
You're working on it.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Again,
that's kind of a moot point.
Right. 'Cause the description where it talked about the ALS transport being fully stocked, again, that was brought up about the question of what fully stocked means and everything with the equipment list, which was also supposed to be part of Attachment B, which was not included as well. So. Under the makeup of the EMS Policy Committee, it talks as the county administrator or their designee, the fire chief or the EMS chief for the subdivision, and then the medical director for each subdivision. And we asked for an addition to the fire chief or EMS chief or their designee, because again, that was one of their stipulations in there, that if you miss more than 50% of the meetings, then they can pull your funding. So if the county can put somebody in their place as a designee, the fire chief or the EMS chief should be able to designate someone to go there as well, so that there's no missing of meetings, so that we're always represented. And then just on the last part, under the term of the agreement, most of the chiefs and municipalities are pushing for a 5 to 10 year term rather than just the 3 year. Again, the same thing. They want to show the county says that they're committed to supporting EMS, so why just have a 3 year contract plus kind of tying that 5 to 10 years into some of the terms of the county commissioners, so that you know they can help push for that and continue to push for that. The reference also said that it would be renegotiated quarterly, I think,
mm-hmm.
is what their wording
quarterly.
Was.
Yeah.
And we're asking for either semi-annually or annually to have it carried over from the end of the term.
You mean the distributions?
The agreement.
Okay. Yeah. Takes effect and continues in force until 2026 and quarterly thereafter, but we would rather see it say semi-annually or annually
yeah.
thereafter. that was about it. So, again, they didn't have their follow-up meeting yet with the county, so after the 18th, we should know a little bit more and then have another meeting scheduled for the fire chiefs.
Who is at the county at this meeting? Anybody?
This was just the 13 fire departments represented in the meeting. So they, Waterville's fire chief was, and their administrator were going to meet with the county to go through their list of things plus everything else that was brought. And then they were, they asked to have the other political entities meet with the county then after that point, so that we had at least an idea of what questions or issues were or answers to those questions. So we should be being contacted at some point after that 18th meeting so that we can get a meeting scheduled between the county and the board, or whoever you desire to.
Would that be Matt Heyerman or one of the commissioners? Or
I don't know who it was. I have heard that they've had some people have had some meetings in the past with at least Matt Heyerman, so it would probably be Matt and or one of the commissioners or representative of the commissioners. But they didn't specify.
How do you want Matt and or one of the commissioners come to working session, come to a general session and just kind of explain?
I think we're light years from getting any
You're
of that
way
done.
Ahead of the
I know, I'm just I'm good.
Yeah, I would think we once we can
see
get
can
some wording on the draft
first.
Agreement
yeah.
and see where that goes. I mean, I don't know that they'll have any answers after their meeting on the 18th, but he should at least get a feel from the county and their representative as to if these are deal breakers or if these are, you know.
I don't think there's any negotiation here. I mean, maybe you'll get some of that language put in there, which would be great.
Yeah. I mean, that's the whole goal was just to try to improve this delivery of the ALS, but also to sustain it. And asking for some of those things like the funding mechanism put back into it and or an increase in the terms just is showing that the county is committed to maintaining and or improving EMS.
So let's see what happens.
So yeah. that's what
what's
that's
the
what
we're what's the general? I know it's still premature a little bit, but the consensus of the chiefs, are they optimistic? Are they cautiously optimistic? Are they pessimistic with the agreement?
I think it's cautiously optimistic, but I mean, everybody's in favor of having the reform done. I mean, that's why we started this whole process and getting forward with it. But obviously, cautiously, just because of it kind of narrowly laid out. As
including Chief Lobachevsky?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
One quick question. Medical directors of each of how many medical directors are between the 13 fire departments? I know we still have Dr. Boggs, right?
Yeah.
And I heard he went part-time to UTMC and then part-time to ProMedica, Dr. Boggs did, from St. Luke's?
With the closure of St. Luke's, he's working between University of Toledo Medical Center and Toledo Hospital.
Okay.
So he is the medical director for Monclova, for the Air Guard, for Waterville, White House, and Providence Township, plus a couple other ones in Wood County. Dr. Sauber is the medical director for Toledo Fire. Dr. Brookins is the medical director for Springfield Township, for Maumee, for Sylvania Township. And there may be a couple other ones. I know Dr. Zahn, I think, is the medical director up in Washington Township. And that, so there's
like
probably
six or seven
okay. together.
Yeah.
Dr. Sauber and Dr. Zahn are part of the EMS consortium that they serve a lot of different regions as a group of medical directors. So there's a few there, but Dr. Boggs and Dr. Brookins aren't part of that consortium.
Because it just said medical directors of each subdivision of a party. So
correct. So some of those are overlapping because Dr. Boggs would be for our region, but also for the White House region.
No, neither.
I have because he's been in the emergency room when we've gone into St. Luke's before. Very thorough guy.
He's been a very good addition for us. We've always had the St. Luke's group, the medical group, as the medical director. So
yeah, I remember when Dr. Lemon was, yeah.
Prior to that, Dr. Crawford. Dr.
Crawford, yeah.
Yeah, Dr. Torres, Dr. a few since I've been here at least. But.
Another general question. They were saying before they were talking about the life squads being in a drawing to see which subdivision or which township was going to end up with the equipment. Is that still in the works?
They still are promising that as far as that to go. That was a portion of what we also had asked for, basically, when they do the lottery for the vehicles.
It should be like the NBA draft and the people with the fewest pieces of equipment.
You get the first pick, right?
You get more balls in there.
We just asked, though, that when we do that, if it can be the fully stocked vehicle that includes all the equipment, because then we don't have to necessarily worry about requesting all separate equipment and everything, but as far as having all the ALS
Charles
equipment,
gurneys and all that, and everything,
it should include like the cardiac monitor, the strip, the cot, the any other devices like a Lucas, a drug box, those type of things should be in there. It wouldn't necessarily have like bandages or oxygen tubing or different things like that, but it would have the specific ALS equipment that the county or the medical policy board is saying should be.
So that's outside the agreement.
That's kind of
attachment B,
kind of in it, but it's outside of it. But it was part of the reform process that they said that they would give each of the 13 fire departments one vehicle. City of Toledo was going to get three because they currently have 5 life squads. Basically, the entities that have a life squad now would pretty much keep the vehicle and the equipment that they have. All the other entities that don't have one would be getting one as well, but we're asking basically that we keep the equipment with it so that we get a fully stocked vehicle. If we happen to get a bad life squad rig, then we would still have all the equipment and we could either, you know, sell the rig or put the equipment on something else.
So Mommy and White House would keep theirs.
That's the basic gist of what we had that say there was 16 total vehicles that were that were listed or discussed about it. 3 of them are brand new ones that are on order but haven't been even made yet. So outside chance, but who knows how the lottery goes.
Thank you.
Yep. So as I hear more updates, we'll keep you apprised of everything and going forward from there. But that's the next plan, basically, for us to meet again once they've met, and then once the draft agreement and or more discussion can be had, then the county wants to meet individually with each fire department and political subdivision.
Right. I mean, I just, maybe we can reach out to him. I would know Dr. Boggs if he walked in the door. Is that something I don't even remember taking action on, if that was when that was?
Like I said, Medco was the ER physician group that ran the ER in St. Luke's. They were always our medical director ever since before I was on. I don't remember how far back it went. So that was the change that we've been talking about is in the EMS protocol group is obviously with the closure of St. Luke's that paid Dr. Boggs' medical malpractice insurance and everything. So now, you know, he's working on a way of determining how that was going to be handled for the future and what, I mean, because we currently have not paid for any fees for medical direction because it was always picked up by the Medco group. And obviously all the entities in the protocol group have had the same issue, or not issue, no payment, no cost. So we've all said that we're committed at some point to, you know, he shouldn't have to pay the malpractice himself. So he was working on that, and then obviously he accepted a position as the EMS director for the medical college hospital. So if he's able to strike that deal up, but he was working to find out what was going to be the cost, and then we would look to see how that could be divvied up amongst the protocol group, because we wouldn't expect everybody to pay full price individually, that we would somehow divide it.
So we pay our medical director, you're saying?
We do not currently. No. We have not.
And the other entities?
A lot of them, some of them pay their medical director for the services. If that's something, and mainly it went towards funding his medical malpractice insurance.
Yeah, I understand where you think the money's going. Why wouldn't we continue looking for someone who offers the services at no cost?
Well, that was the unknown, what was going to happen with Dr. Boggs as far as when he left St. Luke's when they closed up. So he was looking at how he could still obtain that for all the groups that he serves, as well as if that was something that could be done.
And are we doing any other research on what options there are?
We have not done anything further.
Instead of saying, yes, we'll take this portion of the bill?
We have not done anything further yet. No, but, I mean,
okay.
We certainly can look into it. I'm not sure.
I'm not sure either how that system works.
We don't select and hire our medical director. He's kind of assigned to us, correct?
No, we picked him a long time ago from
okay.
the area, from the region, that was as part of the Medco group that we aligned with for our protocols. So if we align with a different medical director, it could lead to a change in protocols, although part of this EMS reform is trying to work together where we have
all the same protocols.
Or as pretty similar as we can. I mean, we definitely don't want to take steps backwards where some protocols aren't as aggressive as our protocols are currently, and we would not want to go backwards and become less aggressive or less beneficial to our patients. But we would want something as part of the EMS reform to help as far as training, to standardize trainings and protocols and different things. So, some of the medical directors have like a formula of a cost based on the number of runs that you have. So Dr. Boggs was looking at all of those types of things to see what was needed, as well as now that he's kind of.
But the reason Medco did it is because you took all your patients to
St. Luke's. Primarily,
it was
because they were
there
close.
Was a benefit to that physician group.
Right.
You probably can't say that as far as, like, you know, kickbacks.
There was nobody getting a kickback.
No,
that's not at all what you were saying.
No. Right.
Indirect
that's what
benefit. The medical director was serving at the hospital where most of our deliveries went to. Deliveries
right.
Are
right. So it just made sense that they were the medical director.
Yeah.
It was close. They were interactive with our community.
Yeah.
But how does Dr. Sauber do it for those other communities? Like,
I think that was the formula that Dr. Boggs had gotten from Dr. Sauber, is how they calculate under that EMS consortium, and it had to do with the run volume of the fire department that they serve, as well as there were some other things. He didn't necessarily, in the discussion that we had in the protocol group, he didn't necessarily like the formula idea as much, so he was looking at other ways, as well as other sources that he had for the malpractice insurance.
Maybe UTMC might step up now that St. Luke's is closed up, because obviously UTMC and Perrysburg Mercy are the two closest transport places to go. And didn't UTMC just get a level 2 again? They were at level 3, now they're moved up to a level 2.
Yeah, they went back to level 2 status for trial.
Right, and so is Mercy and Perrysburg a level 2? They are 3.
No, Mercy, Perrysburg is not a designated trauma hospital.
Oh, isn't it at all?
No,
so you just have Toledo and St. V's for level 1.
Yeah.
Toledo, St. V's are level 1,
and
then St. Charles is level 3.
There's a life flight pad and transportation ready at
Perrysburg
to take you to St. V's.
Gotcha. Perrysburg Mercy, got it.
Yeah.
Yeah, most of the hospitals like
right.
St. Luke's.
Right, so you're going to a Trauma 1 hospital if you have a Trauma 1 emergency.
On a helicopter ride.
Right.
Over there,
yeah,
the major traumas
would either be a level 1 or a level 2 trauma hospital, and then anything else, minor traumas. St. Charles is considered a level 3 trauma center, just like UTMC was formerly a level 3 trauma center. So
they just went up to a level, back up to a level 2.
Yeah.
And you made that decision that you're going to be delivering all of Monclova Township to UTMC?
No.
We go. Our protocol right now says that if we have an ALS patient, we're supposed to go to the closest appropriate facility. So that would be, if we have a BLS patient, we have a little more leeway in the protocol where we can go. The patient still has a right to decide what hospital they want to go to, but then we have
at
with
any
the,
at in any, no matter how sick I am, I can decide where I want to go?
You can, yes, that's your right. If we take you somewhere where you don't want to go, that would be like kidnapping you. So.
Yes.
So
kind of.
Within that,
I thought
though,
it was a law, though, that you had to take them to the nearest place.
That's what they always say. It's part of our protocol, but within that, if we as the EMS provider recommend taking you to UTMC and you say, no, I want to go to Toledo Hospital, we would have you sign a refusal form that says, you're going against medical advice and bypassing the closest appropriate hospital to go to Toledo.
Okay.
So we have that as part of our ability in our protocols to do that. But they would be relegated to signing that document first that they're refusing closest.
Are there additional costs? Because now we're taking our life squads out of service for an extra 45 minutes if they get transported.
Huh? Yeah, if they say Toledo.
If they say Toledo, I mean, we're going to take them to Toledo, but what kind of a cost? Is the fire department going to recoup any, or EMS, any extra funds for transporting them where they want to go?
There's obviously a billing, there's a mileage fee in the billing, so that's part of that. That would be an increase in there. But no, we don't have anything that's set up as far as our billing goes that if they bypass the hospital, that I'm not even sure that would be something I can check with our billing company.
They just announced the president of St. Luke's is going to be the president at Mercy Health Perrysburg. So there, I'm sure you'll see a lot of growth there.
Mercy was supposed to make an announcement sometime forthcoming about what the future of the St. Luke's property was going to be, but I don't know that they've had that.
I don't think they legally take possession until the second week or second of June or something like that.
Yeah, that was the original date was after the month of May for the closure, and then it just got slowly moved ahead.
Or if they're trying to say Nationwide is going to come over and it's going to be a PA, all kinds of stuff you hear. You know, never believe that Nationwide.
I haven't heard that rumor, and I work for Mercy Health.
Nationwide Children's just came up to Mercy, right? Out of Columbus.
Yeah. They took over the pediatric ER, right? The rumors
were that they were going to do that as a pediatric hospital and an OBGYN facility.
Interesting. Tell me, how many of our Monclova residents went to St. Luke's? 95%? Just a guess.
Probably a little bit lower than that. I mean, that was UTMC had always been a fairly close transport for us, but the majority probably were a lot more for St. Luke's than that.
Okay.
You know, I guess while we got you here, a couple things. So we understand we got the part-time job posting itself.
That was distributed to the area. I'm going to get with Kathleen so that we have it on the website. She suggested even putting a little blurb on the sign as well for people driving by. But, yes, it was circulated throughout the area.
Our first application already.
Yeah, there was an application that came through the township website already. Okay. So, yeah.
Is there, like, the state fire marshal, do they have a website or anything like that we can post it statewide?
I can look and see what else we can find, similar to what we did when we posted the full-time positions. There were a couple of no charge for posting websites through some of the fire and EMS websites. So I will research more of those and get it out as in many places. Did it more as an open-ended one, so we don't have a deadline that says that we're stopping applications at this date. So.
Right. I guess that was my thought when we would post it the same that we posted our full-time posting at the same.
And there is the National Testing Network, the NTN, it's called, which is a big fire and EMS service for hiring a lot of nationwide departments use that. We had looked into it with the full-time one, but there was a lot of steps to accomplish first that we didn't have the time for. So I reached out to them to get back in touch with them and see what we can look at for forward with our part-time hiring. There's several departments that use that. They offer some of the screening as well as some testing that can be done through them to help build you a list.
Right. And the three of you have finalized the chief's job description and everything, and that posting's
I can't say finalized, but Dawn did send a job description. I have a posting that I had already put together, and Dawn provided a job description, and I just wanted to make sure those mesh before I put the posting out for the chief.
Okay.
So that hasn't happened yet.
Timeline on that?
I would say, can we get that done by the end of the week, you think?
Yes.
I can work till midnight.
Harold is nodding yes for those listening at home. And I guess, Matt, just a question here on the, in your report, and we can talk about this out there as well, but the automatic aid and mutual aid, it seems a little one-sided this month. We're given more than we're receiving.
Well, that's good, though, in a way. That means that our citizens and residents were safe.
Well, I guess
slow day for us means a good day for everyone else.
My concern is that we're naked here at the station. If our crews in Maumee, Springfield, or Waterville, the 15 calls on automatic last month, that if we got a crew out on a regular call here in the township for, a kid on a bike broke his arm.
Do you know what automatic and mutual aid are?
Yeah,
like, you going to nitpick it every month or what?
No, I'm just,
I mean, that's just what it is.
Depending on
the month before we received more.
Depending on what was called, like there's a couple of mutual aid requests for a transport unit. So out of our, if we had five on that day or if we had four on that day, only two people were sent on the EMS unit then to perform the transport. If it was a fire response, then we would send three people on the appropriate piece of equipment. And then any time we have a mutual aid, it's an automatic station alert, which then brings in the backfill or the off-duty part-time people, the pay-per-call people. So we have the backfill that's there that's brought in so that we don't sustain any loss of services.
Okay. All right, I would like to, in the past, I mean, up until we were meeting with you or Harold and various things, we've had so much on our plate here the last couple months, I would like to get back in a regular rotation of meeting with you, at least 15, 20 minutes prior to the meeting on at least a month-to-month basis. Just a, we got a lot of progress we're going to make, all for the good. So I'd like to get that back on the schedule. So,
sure.
When you get back from vacation. All right, we got about 8 minutes here. Let's just run through the agenda here. Under old business, and I did not have this on the agenda, but we have donation policy, Dawn. Did you want to discuss the draft that you finalized briefly, or you want to discuss it out here?
I can do either. I sent it out. I'm trying to think who all I sent it to. You have the resolution. I think I sent everybody.
The resolution.
The proposed policy.
Kathleen printed.
Yes.
Is this what we're talking about? You should have it.
Okay. I printed it out.
There's a couple things that probably that, certainly not my call. The trustees would want to discuss those tiers of where you wanted to, how you'd want to recognize people differently. And, I just threw in on the first page, you'll see $50,000 for my permanent naming of a park or a field or something like that. And it basically gives the guidelines to let the donors know how decisions are made and certain circumstances that an expectation of what limits there are, what the trustees would be willing to accept or not accept. And when the donation is made, it is preferred with no strings attached, except for such as in a naming situation. The higher donation amounts of $10,000 and above, I believe is what I put in, would allow for discussion with the donor what kind of recognition they may want. A sign at the park, a plaque on the bench, what have you. I put in some simple things for smaller contributions, such, you know, $100 to the fire department, get your name on the sign and a thank you on the Facebook page, things like that. So I try to cover a wide variety of opportunities for people to support the township.
I thought it was a fine policy. It's a little specific. I think as a policy, I wouldn't have it that specific. I would say there are a variety of levels and a variety of recognition opportunities. And then internally, we can adjust those recognition levels. And then this is a tax, it's a gift just like I'm making a gift to a nonprofit. So we have to have a thank you in place, a thank you process in place. And I don't think that has to be in the policy, but when we get the gift, you got to write the dang letter.
I do have one question for you. When I was out talking to different people, they had, and I don't know if the township even is allowed to, they want to know why or if there's businesses that could purchase banners or something to put on the ball fields for a certain amount per year.
That's sponsorship, and she mentions it in
there. Yeah, but as a gift, they're talking about as an advertising.
Right, that's sponsorship.
Okay, so it would fall under
sponsor.
Donor.
Right.
So if the Safety City, if Scott got 10 different companies to put, you know, $100 for the Safety City t-shirts and put Churchill's and Carrabba's and, you know, how you always see the little on the back of the Safety City.
Right, that's sponsorship. It's marketing dollars. It's not a tax-free donation or tax.
You could write that off as advertising if you were a business.
Do you want to put it on the agenda and take care of it, or are we putting it at the next agenda?
Well, do you have any questions? I mean, this is a policy. It's not cast in stone.
I wouldn't have put in the policy.
You're saying
those
number nine.
Specifics.
You would not use number nine on the recognition. Then where she has it actually gone, actually listed it.
Right. That would be something I would,
so you would
use internally.
Nine, the tiers.
I would say there is tiered recognition. We have recognition tiers. I would just take out the other side of it. So, five to nine, I wouldn't recognize anybody for $5,
but you
kind of
need to. Based on your philanthropic efforts, is this?
Yeah, it's just like it, yeah.
Okay. All right. Do we want to do anything with it, or just come back,
just
eliminate this, and
just
then?
Striking the recognition tiers portion.
Well, she's saying recognition. But just not the amount.
Right. I am saying that those tiers should be flexible for us.
Mm-hmm.
And if you put it in our policy, that...
And resolution provides for a policy substantially in the form that's been presented.
Okay.
So
no problem then.
We have room to fine-tune it because we didn't get to have the conversation
okay.
before.
Yeah, so I think we have recognition tiers. We just have flexibility with those tiers. So the language would be something like, you know, based on the giving level, the donor will be recognized in a variety of ways. And then we have an internal document that we can update as we need. I loved recognizing our donors on social media. That's super cute, right?
The $50,000 for the naming, is that?
I don't know. I that's what I mean, right?
If
I don't.
We
think
can just say substantial gift, mm-hmm. and we can do just substantial at a later date.
Right. When, what do they want to name? That's a, you know, that's a discussion, right? If you want to name a ball field, that might be $50,000. It's a Harold Grimm ball field. If you want to name the whole park or the cemetery, the Barbara Lang Cemetery, that's probably more than 50.
Yeah. But we're good.
Who's Rock? Who's Rock, right?
The resolution.
So it has to be added to the agenda under old business?
Yeah, because we talked about it before, donations.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I had under correspondence, Chuck, two emails I wanted to touch base on tonight. Ann Stevens and Neighborhood Bridges. She asked us all.
That's in here?
Is it in correspondence?
Well, it was copied and put into the Dropbox.
Oh, I didn't.
Neighborhood Bridges.
Good, I hope it's in correspondence.
It's in correspondence.
It's in correspondence.
Thank you. Is Daniels in correspondence, too? Okay, Fire Chief, maybe we don't need to add this to Daniel Kemble wants to know, did he just send it to me, is that why?
Oh, Neighborhood Bridges, I was thinking like...
he wants to know how we're letting people know about the Fire Chief retirement.
It was in the newspaper.
It was on the Maumee Mirror. What are we doing? How are we keeping those pieces? I did not receive any communication from the township regarding and heard it secondhand. So
we're supposed to send out an alert.
Maybe.
Well, maybe that's what the person's saying.
When Ken retired, we didn't say we have. You know, that's not really within your.
Okay. So my response. my response, it's because I have a bad nail. My response was, and I included you guys on it, that we're aware he wants to know more about it, and probably the entire township, you know, will keep him informed. So we'll just leave it off, and sounds fine.
Yeah, I mean, do we want, I mean, if Kathleen put anything on our Facebook page, and that's...
We didn't do anything for Ken either.
Right.
Yeah.
So, which way are you going?
He linked the taxes he just voted on to the information, right? So, there was just an increase in safety services. So, wants to just make sure.
We are going to put another fire chief in place. So the taxes.
Right, and he just doesn't know that.
Yeah.
So, how do we get that information out?
A new fire chief is being...
I think we keep talking about it at meetings. We
subscribe to the Mirror.
That's report, right?
Yeah.
Let's see. Harold got two other resolutions that you may want to consider. I don't know.
Yeah, the storage facility and the solar moratorium.
Mm-hmm.
Which ones are which, Harold? One and...
Whichever one you do first.
That's one.
Will be one.
Okay.
Oh.
Storage facilities will be one. Solar fields will be two.
Solar's one.
So then donation is three.
Okay. Well, the only question is on the solar power ones, it says Perrysburg Township in there.
Oh, we can fix that.
The welfare of the residents of Perrysburg Township, I don't think we... I want to change it to Montclair.
We can fix that.
Same with the storage.
Yeah.
Before Gavin signs it, it'll be fixed.
Good.
All right.
And
so
then you can't
then
get good help. You're saying the donation's three? He just asked if the
donation will be
three,
yeah. So.
Okay.
0515202303.
Are you sitting in here, Dawn?
I can come out there.
Then
no, I'll stay in here and watch her.
We have an executive session, and this is the reason for the executive session.
Okay, and we also have a personnel issue to discuss as well.
Okay, I'll be here.